720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. I love this next guest because we all have too much stuff. We fell in love with him when he was on with Oprah. He's been on with me a lot over the years and has taught me that physical items or digital items such as recordings are okay for us to just let it go. His new book is entitled Let It Go. It is Peter Walsh. How are you, sir? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, I am well, thanks, Pete. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure, although once we start talking about your clutter, it tends to go steadily downhill, so I'm already a little worried.
Well, Peter, knowing you were coming on today, I deleted a seven-year-old voicemail from one of my son's golf teachers saying that he was a great kid. And it took me 7 years. It sounds so dumb, but I wanted to clean out the digital stuff before we had you on the show today. And it took me a second, and I looked at it, and I deleted it, and it's in my deleted file, and I'm thinking, I could save it. I can bring it back. And then I deleted my deleted file, and I haven't thought about it since until right now.
But you know, the interesting thing is that it's not about – this is a great example of what I call memory clutter, and it's actually – memory digital clutter, for want of a better term, but let's just stick to memory clutter. This is not at all about the recording. This is about your pride in your son and having that validated by someone you respect. So, of course, it's tough to let that go because it represents the growth and development that you have watched your son go through and a certain level of expertise he's achieved. So, you know, you're worried that if you delete that recording, that somehow it diminishes your son, which of course it doesn't.
Where do we start? How do we take that first step? Because once I deleted it, it's like, okay, now I can move on with my life. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Look, the big thing that's really important when you're dealing with clutter is to understand that all clutter is not the same. And there are two main types of clutter in your house. One is what we just spoke about, memory clutter, and that's the stuff that reminds you of an important person or event in your past. And the fear is, if you let it go, you'll lose the memory or dishonor the person. And then there's another kind of clutter called, I might need that one day clutter. Exactly. I've seen your garage, Pete. And we hold on to that in anticipation of a whole lot of imagined futures. And there's nothing wrong with keeping stuff in the past, and there's nothing wrong with preparing for the future unless that stuff takes over and really starts to mess with your life.
Well, is there a difference between hoarding and saving?
Oh, definitely. Hoarding is actually a technical term I'm not an expert. I'm not a psychological expert, but basically hoarding comes with a strong mental health component.
Okay.
And that's why it's extremely difficult to deal with hoarding cases. One, because they're super expensive to clear. And two, people just focus on the stuff. Let's send mum and dad away for the weekend. And while they're away, we'll empty the house, which totally traumatizes the couple and destroys any trust they have. So you have to go on two fronts, one dealing with the stuff, and then another front dealing with the mental health issue. Because if there's a hoarding problem, there will somewhere in this couple or this person's past be abuse or trauma or neglect. There'll be some kind of trauma that actually has triggered the hoarding.
Wow. I mean, this runs deep. We're talking with Peter Walsh.
Yeah.
The name of his book is Let It Go. Are there some warning signs that you're a hoarder? Are there like some certain steps that you ask people away?
If people are concerned about hoarding, there's a great book that's written by Dr. David Tolan called Buried in Treasures, which really is a primer for dealing with hoarding. But basically, there's a number of criteria. It interferes with social, the stuff interferes with social relationships. It's a cause of friction among family members. It restricts movement through the home, and it generally is typified by a whole lot of worthless items that simply accumulate and create health problems. They're all hallmarks of hoarding.
Well, let's do a whip around on the show here. We have me, we have Curtis, and we have Don. Let's go to Don first. Don, is there an item that you've had for more than 20 years?
More than 20? Yeah, probably. And it's one of those boxes that we discussed, Pete, which is kind of, it's like a shoebox, and it's got a couple of different things, like a deck of cards and a rock, which I have, I can't even legitimately remember why I would keep this rock around, but I keep dragging it around with me.
Why is that, Peter?
Yeah, well, let me ask you another question, Don. Why do you keep the deck of cards?
Right, great question, too. That actually was a gift from my my dad when I was younger, and it's a specific deck, so I just kind of, it's a souvenir thing.
Could I make a suggestion?
Sure.
If you have memory items in your home that are in a box or under the bed or in the garage, then I would challenge you and say, if they're important, they should be treated with honor and respect. Mm. I would get two box frames. I would frame the deck of cards in the box frame with a photo of you and your dad next to it, hang it in your house, and I would frame the rock with a little sign in it that says, "I have no idea," and put it next to it. So straight away, it takes it from, "Oh my God, I don't know why I'm doing this," to actually a conversation piece.
Oh, that's great.
It's like, oh, yeah, here comes Don again with his damn rock. But do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So take the things that are important and display them in your home in a way that gives you happiness.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I'll do that. That's a great
idea. Should I send my invoice straight to the station or to Pete?
To the station, yeah.
Yeah, that's $1,000 an hour for you.
Is Curtis up next?
Yes.
Curtis, what do you have?
I still have trophies from when I played baseball in like second and third grade.
Oh, the trophies.
I love that. I love that. How many?
I think like 5 or 6.
Where are those trophies?
They're in my closet.
So they're really important to you, right? Here's what I would suggest you do. You also pick the one that you love the most, put it somewhere on a mantelpiece with a framed photo of you in Little League, and you pry the award plates off the other trophies and stick them in the frame as well next to the photo of you and let the trophies go.
I like that.
All right. You can send that invoice to Pete, by the way.
because the thing is, guys, it's a simple concept. If something's important, treat it with the importance and respect it deserves. And then it switches it from, "I don't know why the hell I've got that in the closet," to, "Wow, this represents a moment in my life."
We're talking with Peter Walsh. Let It Go is the name of his book. 312-981-7200 is our phone number if you have a question or a text message. We'll get to the text messages in a second. But, Peter, I was talking about this before you came on. I have a box from high school, and I'm sure I have a box from college. And I also have a box of my old tapes when I was on college radio and when I started out in Rockford, Illinois, and I came to Chicago. And they sit in my garage, and I haven't touched any of those in years. Why do I still have them?
Because it's the same thing with your son and the voice recording, or or Don and the cards. It's not the tapes. Everyone looks at those dusty tapes and sees, you know, outdated technology. You look at those tapes and see your career.
Yeah,
you know, that's what they represent, and you're worried somewhere in you. If you let go of those tapes, somehow it diminishes or disrespects highlights in your career. And for me, the way you deal with this, and this is the whole process in the book Let It Go, which is about helping people downsize. I think we have over 1 million people retiring every month in the United States. Tons of people are doing this. The thing you should do is go through the tapes and find the ones that have the strongest memory. Most of those, you know, Frito-Lay voiceovers you did in 1962, no one's going to remember, not even you. So what you should do, so pull out the ones that are important and get them digitized, put them up in the cloud. You've always got them. Let go of the outdated technology. And I can guarantee you, in the same way you haven't listened to the hard copy tapes in the garage, you're never going to listen to the ones in the cloud either, but you'll feel better.
Never. And you feel better. Yeah. That's right. When my father passed away, in 2005, so that's 14 years ago, 2006, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, I saved a voicemail of his, and I'm like, oh my God,
yeah,
I'm going to save this and listen to my dad's voice. And I've never listened to it once. And I've found, as I get older, it's easier to let go of things as you have more life experiences. As, you know, a sibling gets cancer or a friend gets sick, it's like, why am I holding on to this stuff? That it doesn't mean anything. I have the real stuff going on in my life.
Well, I think that's exactly it. But as I said earlier, holding on to that stuff is fine as long as it doesn't mess with your life now. And I think in a way it's like grieving, you know, that with time, the sense of grief starts to diminish. And so as you get distance from the object or who gave it to you or the event, in this case your dad's passing, you're able, I think, to look at it with a slightly wider perspective,
right?
And then you're able to step back a little bit from it. And it is true in many cases, although I think it's like 60% of people who want to downsize are saying that they're too frightened to do so because of the amount of stuff in their house. So, you know, on the one hand, you know, we can get a bit of distance, but on the other hand, it's a real hurdle for people who are trying to downsize or move their parents into assisted living or shut down the family home after parents pass. It's not easy, but there are steps. And actually, I wrote Let It Go after my own mother passed away 3 years ago, and my three sisters and three brothers and I decluttered and downsized the house, which was kind of like a sitcom, really. It was very entertaining.
We're getting so many text messages. I want to get to a few of these. 815 area code.
Sure.
Peter, I really want to get rid of clutter, but tossing and organizing literally confuses me and I'm quickly overwhelmed. What do I do?
Okay, here's what you do. You start with 10 minutes a day. You grab two trash bags and you do the trash bag tango. You give everyone in the house two trash bags, 10 minutes. Everyone runs around the house. In one bag, they put trash, old magazines, soiled clothing, broken toys. And in the other one, they put stuff that you no longer need, use, or love for donation. That bag goes in the trunk of your car. The first one goes in the trash bin. If two of you do that 10 minutes a day for 1 week, you will have 14 bags of trash and 14 bags of stuff going to Goodwill, 28 bags. Two of you, 10 minutes a day in 1 week. But you have to be consistent. That's one. And two, you have to stop saying the word later. I'll put that away later. I'll file that later. I'll fold the clothes later. I'll deal with the mail later.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with things as they come up, because the moment you start using the word later, clutter starts to accumulate.
Wow. All right. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to take some phone calls. I'm going to keep you on the line because when we come back, I want you to help some more people. But I also want to ask you about, you know, Amazon nowadays. We're just accumulating stuff that we don't need because it's a one-click society that we live in right now, and things are delivered right away. And then I want to talk to you about digital hoarding with pictures so you can help
us
with
that.
Peter Walsh.
Happy to do it.
Peter Walsh on the line. The book is called Let It Go. You can pick it up anywhere and everywhere. What is your website they can go to?
PeterWalshDesign.com.
Love it.
And if you're looking for something to do this month, there is a challenge a day on my Facebook page. You can check that out there or on my YouTube channel.
Oh, well, we'll talk more about that coming up next. It's Peter Walsh on the line with us, 720 WGN. One of my favorite guests ever is on the line. His book is entitled Let It Go. It's Peter Walsh. You can go to PeterWalshDesign.com. I'm so glad that we finally connected. It seems like you're traveling out of the country nonstop.
Yeah, I was on 51 flights last year, Pete. I travel a massive amount. And I shoot a show in Sydney, and I also... I'm in New York a lot shooting the Rachel Ray show. And with the new book, there's just been a lot of publicity. So, but I was really eager to come on. It's always such a pleasure to be on the show. So thank you for not giving up on me.
All right. Let's take a call from Karen. Karen, what is your question for Peter Walsh?
Oh, Peter, your timing is perfect. I am cleaning out my mom and dad's house. They've both passed away.
Yes.
And I find myself struggling. And, you know, I'm down to the cedar chest and the recipe drawer. And I realized that as I walk around my mom's house that I'm dragging my feet now before the estate sale because I'm afraid to let her go. And I thought maybe you could help coach me.
Yeah, look,
emotional.
Absolutely. Number one, be gentle on yourself. It's tough, and this is part of the grieving process. But here's a challenge I want to give you. Imagine that your mum is standing behind you and in the house has hidden treasures for you. The things that she most loved, most valued, felt most represented the achievements in her life, and look for those treasures. It might just be her favorite recipe card. It might be one piece of jewelry. If you find just the treasures from your mum, don't look at all the stuff. Focus on the treasures. You will find that once you bring those out of the house, that the rest of the stuff just doesn't seem that important. You have to try and change your mindset a little bit and accept the fact that this is about grieving and it's about you now. Has your dad passed away as well?
Yes, both of them. Am I finding their treasures, but now I'm in the Cedar test where I'm finding my grade school report cards and everything that she saved about me.
And again, look, here's the thing. Don't keep it all. Find the treasures. Find the things that you most remember. And as I said to the guys earlier, put a family history wall in the hallway of your home with the best items that you found. Google family history wall. You'll find a lot of great ideas. Pull out the treasures. Display them with honor and respect. And I promise it will make the process much easier.
Does that help, Karen?
Thanks for the
question. Yeah, and I think I will get your book because it sounds like it was written with this in mind.
Yeah, trust me, it's exactly what you're going through.
Thank you, Karen. Have a great day. Thank you so much. We're talking with Peter Walsh. The name of his book is called Let It Go. It's so funny that she brought up the cedar chest. The cedar chest was the holy grail of whatever my mother saved, and she still has
mine
it
to
this day. What was it with the cedar chest?
I don't know. It was mine, too. Ours was actually a camphor wood, was made of camphor wood that my dad brought back from Asia at the end of the Second World War.
Oh, wow.
But it stood at the end of my parents' bed for their 55 years of marriage, and we were forbidden to open it.
Right.
So that was why we used to sneak in when Mum and Dad weren't in the house and have a look in it.
Because you knew there was treasures in there.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about Amazon. I mean, we buy stuff with one click nowadays, and we start to accumulate things that we don't need. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And why are we keep accumulating?
Because we're told that stuff gives us happiness, that if one is good, two is great, and that if we just buy the right thing, we can acquire the life that we want. And where we're at the moment is a natural progression. We started in the 20s and 30s, a little earlier, with billboards and posters that advertised stuff in the world, out there on the side of buildings. Then came radio, which moved things into our house. Then came TV that moved advertising into our living room.
Right.
And now we have the internet that has moved advertising and marketing into our heads because we don't pull our eyes away from the screen and it's so easy. You have to introduce a level of mindfulness. The normal process is I see, I want, I click, I buy. That's the normal process. What the process should be is I see, I want, pause, will this item improve my life? Financially, socially, relationship with my partner, you know, in the way my home looks.
Mm-hmm.
And introduce that step so it becomes I see, I look, ask the question, will this thing improve my life? And if the answer is yes, and you can afford it, and it fits in your home, knock yourself out. But that mindful step will really that pause will give you a level of mindfulness that can really help with cutting back on spending.
How about digital pictures? We're all digital hoarders when it comes to pictures. How do we get rid of pictures?
Yeah, look, there's a couple of things. Number one, with the old photos, the paper photos, the issue was around organization, was around storage. You know, those boxes in the hallway cupboard that you never get to or under the bed in the spare bedroom of 1,000 relatives whose names you have no idea of.
Sure.
But now we've moved into the digital age. It's not about storage because it's limitless. It's about organization. Couple of things. One, you're lucky if when you take photos, one in five is worth keeping. So the moment you finish taking photos, delete the stuff that's crap. And then number two, set up albums in your photo storage area, let's say Google Photos, and then start tagging photos so that you can easily search and find them by event or person or date, and then don't stress about it. I mean, you know, people, I spoke to a woman last week who had 230,000 photos and had none of them organized. If you can't find a photo, you don't own it.
Wow. I mean, that's crazy. I thought I had a lot of photos. We have about 30.
You know, you should just ask people how many photos they have on their phone. Random people, you'll be amazed.
I have 25,000 photos on my phone. 25. Yeah. We looked the other day. It's terrible. It is.
Yeah.
We have 30 seconds left. Don, you had one more thing you wanted to ask about clothing?
Yes, Peter. I got some gifts, one from my grandpa who passed away in like 2002, and some from my sisters who were still around when they were on vacation in Mexico. And these are clothes which I'll never wear them. Like, they're not comfortable. They don't fit right and stuff. And yet, I can never get rid of them. I wash them with every cycle. I fold them. Stash them.
What does he do, Peter?
I have three sisters, and I can tell you right now, you are a wimp and need to stand up to them at some stage in your life, number one.
All right.
number two, look, if you don't love them and wear them, let them go. And for your grandfather's piece, if he's still alive, cut a bit of the fabric and, again, put it on that family history wall, a little piece of the fabric, so you can find a photo of him wearing that item of clothing or you and him standing together. And let the item go, but you've still got that little bit of fabric to remind you.
There it is.
That's great. Thank you.
PeterWalshDesign.com. Let It Go is the name of the book. Peter Walsh, you're the best, man. Thank you for coming on, and we'll have you on again very, very soon.
Anytime, my friend, and good luck with the show, and congratulations on all your success, and get rid of those damn tapes in the garage.
Thank you very much. We'll talk soon.